Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Compare the two. John 2:19-23 said, Jesus said, I will raise it up. And then Paul in Romans says the Father, by the glory of the Father. There seems to be a conflict. Let's look at the one that I've read just says, who answers prayer? Go to John 15:14. John chapter 15, verse 14. If I got the wrong verse, I guess I did. I wrote it down wrong. But the verse that I want, it says that Jesus, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do. I will answer. But in John, I must have the wrong chapter. I wrote both of them down wrong because I said John 15:16 says the Father will. I apologize. Sorry, I don't remember where that one is. I wrote the wrong verse down, or else I got the wrong book. Let's go to the next one.
John 14:14.
Is it John? Okay, if you ask anything in my name, and verse 14, it is 14, chapter 14, that's what I did, wrote the wrong chapter down. And John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. One of them says, he will. 14:14, if you ask in my name anything, I will do it. And then in verse 16, he says, the Father. Well, is there two going to hear? Is there two going to answer? Or is there a mystery here? There's a mystery. Who has the drawing power? Let's see if I got that one right. In John chapter 12, verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. But John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Who has the drawing power? Do they both draw? A good one is, who is the Alpha and the Omega? Let's look at Revelations 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. And he calls himself the Almighty. Same thing that Abraham called Jehovah in the Old Testament. Let's look at Revelations 21, verse 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Talks about a father there, being the one that's the God of the overcomers. The Alpha and the Omega. So you have the Son saying he's the Alpha and Omega, and here you got a Father being the Alpha and Omega. John 14:3, though. John chapter 14, verse 3. Who is the coming one? Who is the one that's going to come? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But then go to 1 John. 1 John. The little epistle of John. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear. Well, now, sons of God, he shall appear. That's the Father. But the other one said that Jesus would appear. Now, we got two coming? That's the mystery. Unless they're the same. See, it was a whole lot easier for people to explain this, where people could understand it and say, oh, there's three of them. But that's not what the Scripture says. It says it's a great mystery. And people who don't care to search the Scriptures and find out what is so, then what they do is they just take the easy way out and says, oh, there's three of them. But how do you reconcile all the Scriptures that said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How do you take the plain statements and chuck them out and throw them away and then try to make something else fit out of them? Oh, they'd rather come along with something else. Well, it says, let us make man in our image. And they try to make that seem more than one. They try to take the term Elohim and make that plural, which it is. Then they try to take where Jesus is on the Jordan, on the river with John the Baptist, and try to say, well, there was three representations. They take those three examples, and they try to say that makes the Trinity. And folks, it has become so popular that if you don't believe the Trinity, you believe heresy. You're out of the mainstream. But the truth is that that's the very thing that has blinded people. And if the Trinity is not true, that's a false God. Now, I know that sounds horrible. When I look at the audience tonight, I just have to say this. Do you understand now why Brother Branham says evil spirits travel in the titles? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Folks, maybe we as a group of people, we have not realized how serious this really is. Let me just read you a statement that Brother Branham makes. Now, when he was here on earth, he was a perfect example of everything of the Godhead. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ was God. The body of Jesus was only the tabernacle of God. It's where Almighty God himself lived and dwelt in a human being. You believe that, don't you? You believe that, don't you? Now listen, you have to be saved. You have to believe that. If you want to know where that comes from, it's Fundamental Foundation for Faith in 1955, January the 13th. One of the first statements that doctrinal tapes he ever put out. And how many times does he repeat that quote in there? Now, this series is not for the people to do that, but I said I wasn't going to base this on what Brother Branham said, but I'm telling you folks, this makes it very serious for us as believers. You may say, well, it don't matter. Not according to what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said that the most important revelation that the seventh voice, the voice of the seventh angel had, was the revelation of the Godhead. Because if you don't have a revelation of that, you'll never be able to comprehend how it is that God is to dwell in you. In fact, Brother Branham didn't teach that God was his own Father. There was a manifestation of it. But neither was, because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and came that. But what did the disciples believe? Let me tell you how they spoke about God and how they spoke about Jesus. The Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, called him the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How many times do you hear anybody use that term today? You ever hear anybody, when you're talking about Jesus, call him the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ? We have become so tainted by the Trinitarian teaching of the second person of the Blessed Holy Trinity that we even hesitate to call him God. When we pray and we say, Father God, if we're not careful, we've got a second person there instead of Jesus. Revelations 1 and 8. Jesus Christ, this is the true God. In 1 John 5:20, eternal life. There's only one source of eternal life. How many times do you ever say that Jesus Christ is the true God? We're so tainted. We hesitate to call him what he really is. Jude chapter 1 verse 4. The only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 9. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. In verse 19, there is one God. Doesn't say anything about three. One God. This is the way the disciples and the men who wrote our scriptures spoke about God. We, for some reason, even myself, I don't talk about Jesus being the Lord God Almighty. It's so easily to become influenced by what other people have pictured and painted God to be. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus created all things. Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, but he said, I will raise it up. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. Look how Paul wrote it. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's how Paul believed the Godhead. How important it is for you and I to get a revelation of it. I wanted to challenge you with it tonight, and there was a couple of other statements that I found from Brother Branham today that I wanted to read you. If people can't see the truth of the Godhead but fight it, they can't ever see the rest of the truth, because the revelation is Jesus Christ in his church and his works in the midst of the church for seven ages. Christ did not come down to make himself known. He did not come to reveal the Son. He came to reveal and make known the Father. He never talked about two gods. He talked about one God. And now in this last days, we've come back to the capstone revelation, the most important revelation of Godhead in the whole Bible. That is, Jesus is God. He and the Father are one. There is one God, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to identify yourself with Brother Branham's message, that's what you need to seek a revelation on. You need to read your Bible, search the Scriptures, and pray about it until you come to realize that Jesus and the Father are one. There is one God, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I can remember the moment in my life when that came clear to me in the Spirit. Until then, I felt like, well, you know, Christians are Christians. And I still believe they're good people, just like there's good Catholics, there's good Mormons. But folks, our salvation depends on serving God in spirit and in truth. And it becomes very serious if you start thinking that a person can be saved by believing in a false God. Jesus Christ was God in flesh. He was the Father. He manifested the Son in flesh. And the name that He has chosen to be called is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. His name is above every name. If He was lifted up, He would draw all men. You say, well, the Holy Ghost drew me. There's no two Holy Spirits. The Holy Spirit is not a third person. That Spirit that drew you has to be the Spirit of the Father that Jesus Christ manifested and paid the price so that you could be forgiven, so that when that Spirit drew you, you were worthy to come into His presence and be accepted by Him. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord. And there will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If I as a just a fellow believer with you could encourage you doing that, I'm not asking you to fast and pray and punish yourself, but I'm going to ask you just to take your Bible and read these Scriptures and fill your mind with this and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity, because if this is what Brother Branham says, the most important doctrine, I will tell you this: God has a desire for His people to understand this, and He will reveal it to you. And I promise you, it'll make a change in all of us. Jesus Christ is God. God the Father. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Word with God, was God, Word made flesh, dwelt among us. God above us in the Old Testament, God with us in the New Testament, and now God in us. You see, there's a lot of people that are in the mainstream denomination, they don't believe in the indwelling of the presence of God. That blinds them. Just like to the Jews, the manifestation of Jesus Christ blinded them. Now the indwelling of God in us blinds them. seek God for it. If you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask him for meat, he's not going to give you a serpent. If you ask him, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I didn't read you people a scripture tonight that you hadn't heard before. I didn't bring up an objection to the truth that you haven't heard before. But the purpose of a faithful minister is to remind you that you can be stirred up, because if you will turn your thoughts to this and you will say, I want a revelation of who Jesus is. He says, if you will ask, I will answer. And once you realize that, then you understand the power that it has within you to accomplish the will of God in your own life. You understand that? His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Now we got the right key. Let's sing it to him together in unison. His name is wonderful. Yes, that's Jesus. His name is Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Let's stand and sing it to him one more time. Yes, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. If you were a heathen and you had never heard the story of salvation and deliverance, and you got a revelation that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, had come and paid a price for you to be redeemed, and you could be free from your sin and all your guilt. You've heard people testify before that the night they got saved, how the burden rolled away and it lifted. I'm going to tell you, that is a renewal to us that will happen to us if we will renew our understanding of what Jesus is. Don't make him less than what he is. His name is worth it all. That's the way God chose to reveal himself to us. The great creator of this universe that we came. God said, they'll never comprehend this. So I'll manifest myself to them. I'll become one of them. And he did that so that we could become like him.
Amen.
That's the joy of this revelation. That he condescended and became one of us. So that if we'll get a revelation of what happened, then his presence in us, then all things become possible. Such as he is, we are. Let it be in your heart, in your life. There'll be a renewal of it, I promise you. Because this, if it's as important as Brother Bram says it, God wants each believer to have that understanding of who Jesus is. Abraham must have really felt something when he realized, hey, I've been worshiping these heathens over here and the moon and everything else. It didn't do a thing for me, but there is a God somewhere. And he began to follow him, Almighty God. And folks, how would you, we're coming into the season that the world calls Christmas. But how would you have liked to have been in Bethlehem the night that Jesus was born? Maybe you're asleep in your house or something, and the only first thing you heard about was a commotion when a bunch of shepherds come running down through the street screaming and hollering, hey, we had angels come to us. Hey, angels came in. You really think they just slipped into town and slipped out? No, there was excitement there. But what would you have done if you'd seen that little baby, and according to the manuscript, Solomon would have been there saying, look, I'm healed, and there was some excitement caused. Wherever Jesus went, his fame went throughout all the land. And we talk about today, you know, the things that, how wonderful it would have been to have lived there, but maybe just to touch him. But you see, if we really had a revelation, he's here now.
Amen.
If any two agree. But as long as the devil can make us see, well, there's three persons, there's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then we don't get the revelation that he's here. He's now in us. Because if God was up there and he wasn't in Jesus, then that third person somewhere was there. No. No, that's the same God. Jesus, if I don't go away, the Spirit in me won't come back to you. But if I go away, this Spirit will come be in you. And then we realize who we are. And we don't deal with flesh and blood. The withered arm is not the thing you deal with. It's the spirit of affliction. And once it's gone, the arm is well.
Amen.
Jesus didn't cast out withered arms. He cast out evil spirits. He didn't cast out blindness. He cast out an evil spirit. He didn't put new life in the body. He sent death away. The healing is within us.
Amen.
Grant it to us, Lord. We're getting too close to home not to have this. Got to have it in our heart and mind. God bless you.